Well, howdy, everyone. I trust that the time that we've been away from each other, you've been experiencing the wonders of the joy of the Lord being your strength. Now, that's not your rejoicing in the Lord. We do that for sure. But the joy that the Lord experiences, the one who lives in us, his very joy is our strength. When there are things that just would want to steal our joy, rob our joy, Jesus said, you will have my joy, and my joy will make your joy complete in John 15. Wow. And so sometimes my joy leaks, I don't know about you, based on circumstances and situations, but his joy doesn't. And so his joy completes my weakness and my frail joy. And therefore, I'm now one with his joy. And so I pray that you've been knowing the joy of the Lord during this season that we're walking through. It's always a really busy time. It's a great family time. It can be a lot of fun. It can also be really expensive and can be very, very busy. For some people, it can be very stressful if you let it. Now, I understand Jesus doesn't do stress. He doesn't stress out, but sometimes we don't abide in him, and we feel all kinds of stress. And then for some people, Christmas, Thanksgiving is a really sad time because of sudden losses that they've experienced, recent losses, even long-term losses. If it's resulted in you kind of being by yourself, you may have family, but that family doesn't necessarily live with you, or you have some lost one that you're really close to. As you get older, sometimes you can feel a little bit more isolated, and it can be a sad time, full of nostalgia and good memories, but it can also be something that the enemy takes. He uses the opportunity, takes advantage of loneliness or isolation. Now, understand this. Jesus does aloneness really well. He doesn't do lonely, because of the fellowship he has with the Father and the Spirit. And now we now are part of that. So we're never alone. And that fellowship is going on inside of us, not just around us, not just off in the heaven somewhere, but in part of our being. And Jesus does alone really well. And so what I mean by that is the Christ who lives in you knows how to do being alone in you without it being a time of depression and sad nostalgia. Because you see, every day with Christ, we're building new memories in him. And those of you who don't know me really well may know that, you know, my wife passed away 4 years ago, this December 23rd. And I've got family in the area, but I go home every day for the last 4 years with me, the dog, Maud. Maud's a female English lab named after my grandmother, and Fred. And Fred's also a female. And I go home to them, but I've never felt lonely because I'm in Christ, and therefore his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I participate in this shared love and joy that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit have with each other because I'm in union with the humanity of Christ. I'm in union with this one, and I get to experience what he experiences. I'm a co-heir with Christ. All that's his is mine. All that he has is mine. So anyway, I'm praying for all of you that you'll find your rhythm in Christ during this season. And so this is a word that'll fit because you don't want to do things that the Holy Spirit doesn't lead you to do in terms of money that you spent. You don't want to go into crazy kind of debt during this time of year. But there are a lot of stuff you got to do. There's a lot of things that are going on. There's money that has to be spent. This is just the context of this time of year, especially for Westerners. And so my prayer is that you'll be able to stay focused on just who Christ is and the wonders of the incarnation and your participation in the incarnation, but also that you would be able to walk in faith through this season, through this time that has all this stuff going on. So let me just read this scripture to you. It's a really simple word. We've referenced it before, but I just wanted to concentrate on this word today. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. It says this, if we believe not. Now, some versions say if we're faithless, which is the same thing. If we believe not, He, Jesus, remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. That's one of my favorite verses. Just incredible. Again, if we believe not, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Jesus can't stop being the faithful person that he is, the faithful God that he is. And so in talking about our being joined to him, being grafted into him, and he being grafted into me, woven into the fabric of his existence, and he woven in the fabric of my daily existence and life that I live. Let's talk about this life of faith. Galatians 2:20 in the King James Version gets this one right. It says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I love the New American Standard. I think it's the most accurate version for sure. But the King James, which is a beautiful language, really gets that translation right. Because when it says, my New American Standard says, in the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the more accurate translation is, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Our understanding that is what the key, and I don't like that word really, but is the key to us walking in faith. For the just shall live by faith. But remember that you've been grafted into Christ. You've been grafted into his obedient heart. You've been grafted into everything that he is. You're in union with him. And therefore, you are in union with faith. And so the word I want to try to give you is this, is that we can make faith a work to where we're trying to do faith perfectly. We're scared to death to say the wrong thing sometimes because that may undo faith and then God won't come through, you know, because we didn't do it just right. We didn't say it just right. And we can reduce faith to a formula. And I almost make it like a Christian superstition, where there's a way you got to say it, there's a way you got to do it, and you can't mess it up. You can't leave an open door, you know, for unbelief to sneak in. But this verse says that even when we believe not, he abides faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So here's my word to you. And it may sound heretical at first. I don't mean for it to sound heretical. If you research, it won't. It's not heretical. It's the gospel. And again, you've been grafted into Christ and who he is and how he lives. And you have the mind of Christ. You've been in union with the heart of Christ. You've been joined to the very nature of Christ. He shares with you his nature. I don't mean by that he gives you his nature. You are in union with his very nature. That's your new nature. And so it's your, so let me just, I'll put it this way. I don't want to get too far in the weeds. If we live by the faith of the Son of God, then you and I can stop trying so hard to believe. Hear me? It's okay to stop trying so hard to believe. Again, many of you are out there just gritting your teeth spiritually, rolling up your sleeves, and sweating it out, trying to do faith just right so promises will come true and all that kind of stuff. You know, just the faith of a mustard seed is big enough to move a mountain. That's what Jesus said, a literal mountain. Well, what about all the kind of other mountains that you deal with that aren't literal mountains, but certainly they get not as hard to move as a real literal mountain. And just the faith the size of a mustard seed. Because my mustard seed faith joined to what Jesus believes is the kind of faith that we're called to walk in. In other words, stop trying to believe. Jesus believes. Let me say it again. You can stop trying to believe because Jesus believes. Whatever situation you are going into, whatever thing you're facing, whatever circumstance you're in, Jesus has faith for it. He believes. And Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are adequate in ourselves to think anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. I love what 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. Wow, what a verse. Are you called to be a mom or dad in this situation? Are you called to put all these things together to make Christmas parties work, to do the shopping for toys? Are you called as a dad to do this and provide and all that kind of stuff? Are you called as a mom to help in the provision? You know, are you as a couple are going to go to someone else's family's house and sometimes it's sort of a weird situation when you go there for Christmas and, you know, you're not looking forward to it and there's just all the hectic thing of trying to get time in. Are you in a place where you feel lonely and that Christmas is daunting emotionally? Jesus believes in his own ability not only to get you through Christmas, but for you to experience the favor that is on his life. Jesus believes. Faithful is he who's called you, who also will do it. Do you have some project at your work, and it's, by the end of the year it's got to be done? Has Jesus called you to that job? Then faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. Doesn't mean that you go lay down and say, go do it, Jesus. You show up and participate in this union, but you participate knowing that he believes. He's going to be faithful. And faith, I read somebody say this, I like it, said faith is just cooperating with his faithfulness. Faith is just resting in his faithfulness. When you rest in his faithfulness, that's what faith is on our part. Because Jesus believes. And Jesus believes that he's adequate. He'll enable you with his adequacy. You'll be joined to his adequacy, his wisdom, his energy level, all that's necessary to get that project done, to do all the stuff that you got to do. You don't need to go into anything dreading. Jesus doesn't dread anything. You have to go into anything with anxiety. Jesus doesn't do anxiety. You don't have to go into anything fearful because Jesus doesn't do fearful. You don't have to go into anything discouraged because Jesus doesn't do discouragement. That's not how he lives. Those aren't part of his emotions. Jesus believes. And therefore, you can relax and stop trying to believe because Jesus believes. And he won't deny himself. He lives in you. You're in him. Therefore, he's in you. Stop trying to believe and simply sink into, put on Christ. Rest in his faithfulness because he believes, because he can't deny himself. And you're one with him. Amen? Well, I hope that's an encouraging word, and we'll be back at it again tomorrow at 1:15. I pray that you will have a better rest of the day. If you've had a struggle so far to this point of the day, that you'll have a better rest of the day. You'll have a day, what's left in this day, you'll experience resting in his faithfulness. Kids coming home, kids about to be out of school, now you're going to be having them, you're going to have to entertain them. He believes in himself for that. He believes he's adequate for that. He won't deny himself. Therefore, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to dread. You don't have to worry. Jesus didn't worry, ever. He believes. He believes in his own faithfulness. He believes in his own adequacy. You can just rest in that and enjoy who he is and how good he is, and the favor that he lives under. Okay? All right. Take care.